Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I am your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Jeffrey L. Kohanek. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for
I think I
having me.
messed it up, right? Because I was
No,
saying,
you got it. It's all good.
okay. Once you brought in Han, I'm like, how do I say it? I like had to really think about it for a minute there. That's a good way to remember it. I'm really thankful to have you on today. I discovered your books a few years ago. I bought a bunch of them. I've gone through like several, and then my son was born, so I was stopped. And then once you had the audibles for them, I was like, "Oh, I'm so excited because I can actually like go through." So I'm about like 40% through The First Wizard right now. So by the time this podcast comes out in December, so next month, I'll actually already have that book done and reviewed for the channel. So that's really cool. So I'm excited to chit chat with you, just about your different books and series. I don't know if you have a book that I haven't bought yet. I'll be honest. I always get like gift cards and I'm like, oh, these just sound right up my alley. So I have a ton of them waiting. So I'm excited to get the director's cut before finishing any of them further. And then I always like to see what writers have to say about them. I don't know. I always get more out of it as a writer and a reader. So I'm so thankful we could get you on today and chit chat about your books and your writing. So thank you so much for your coming on.
Yeah, excited to be here.
All right. Well, we'll get started with that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
I started writing as a almost like a secret, I don't know, you want to call it hobby or something on the side, back in 2014. So I was working a day job, but it involved a lot of travel. So when I'm traveling like 25, 30% of the time, anybody who's traveled, you get a lot of downtime because you're always waiting. You're in a, airport or a plane or a cab or a hotel room or whatever. So I would write, and I just kind of wrote on the side, and then I had a book, and then I had two more books, and as the books started coming out, and by the time I got into my third series, which was my first Wizardums books, Fate of Wizardums, I realized that I could make a living off of just being an author. So I made that my mission, and by the time I think the 10th book came out, I quit my day job, and so I've been writing full time ever since, and that was January 2020, just before COVID. So now I have 29 books out.
I was gonna say,
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're gonna do it full time, you better pick up, the pace a little bit.
No, totally. Well, it's so funny because I had a couple people like Herman Stewart Engel, some other people, like, oh, if you talk to Jeff, I'm like, he's on my list. And I know last year was nuts for me with my son and stuff being born the year before, and my wife like broke her foot twice and stuff. So last year I was just like trying to get whoever I could, honestly, in to finish the season. I was thinking I was like 18 episodes short or something out of like 52 for the year, and I was like doing pretty well at that point. So I was like, I put you back on my list for this season. So I was so happy, that I could talk to you, because it's funny because there's so many times where, somebody has, sent me the Wizarding books or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, I already got them all. I was like, I'm trying. Like with a small child, I was like, I'm trying. Like Audible has helped me. I like when you can link up the Audible with the Kindle, because I like to read some, when he goes to sleep, and then the rest of the time I'm cooking or cleaning or driving, I like to do the Audible, and it's nice because I can actually get through a book that way. Otherwise, it's like it's physically impossible for me. So I have some friends, that only do Kindle, which I get because they're indie authors, right? And it's expensive, but it stinks because it's taken me forever to get through their books. So I was so happy when I thought of it a while back. I think I first saw you had the Audible for The First Wizard, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. So I was really excited to, to be able to start that one. So my son seems to like it. So he's trying to get him into fantasy early. But it's so cool because
Well,
you're
that's
doing
good.
exactly, I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, well, Jeff can do it, So you're one of those people where I'm like, oh, that's really cool, because I feel like you write a lot of the books, in style and the covers, the blurbs. I don't know. It's like that kind of thing that I would like to do, if that makes sense, as an author, particularly in fantasy. So it's always cool to get to, to chat, just, chat with somebody, who's doing something that you want to do. So I think that's really cool. So, yeah,
Oh
so I'm
yeah, I
just
totally get
interested
it.
in your background. So, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. 29. I was trying to count. I was losing count. It's hard because I always do the TikToks and, like to advertise that we had the interview. especially for people who, if they haven't seen your books before. So it's always hard for me because TikTok won't let me do as many as like, and Instagram is the one that stops you at 10. So I have to pick like the best of your, 29 books to advertise. So it's kind of hard there. So I
Right.
always hate that. It's like picking someone's favorite child for them. So it's crazy. But
Totally.
yeah, so that's awesome. But this leads me directly, which is awesome, into this next question, which I'm really curious about. So what genre or genres do you currently write in and why?
Okay. So every book I have out, it's all in epic fantasy. So, I mean, sometimes it's more, I guess, sword and sorcery to me is smaller scale, right? You're not trying to save the world. You're just trying to maybe rob a temple of some enchanted relic or something, right? But everything is, alternate world. At least everything thus far. Doesn't mean moving forward, I'm gonna keep doing that. I'm actually considering trying out another genre.
Oh, cool.
But when I got into it, I mean, fantasy has been my love, like my whole life, right? I've been reading fantasy since almost exclusively since I was like 12 or 13. And even before then, I was dabbling, but somewhere along the line, I came across the Belgaria ad, and I
Oh,
was like, oh, I love this. Like, and then I never turned back.
yeah.
I write the stories or the kind of books that I wanted to read. So, I mean, having read for a long time, I read all the classic series, but it's hard to find newer series that really kind of scratch the itch.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, if I write these kind of stories, there might be more people like me who want, more of the stories like the Belgariad to Wheel of Time to whatever. Although I will say this, I tend to write with a little bit faster pacing for most of the books, at least. They're faster pacing than some of those classics where they got door stoppers that are, like 900 pages. I'm like, well, I'm going to take 900 pages of action and I'll squeeze it down to 400 and, it'll be good.
Oh, they can only make a stew so many times, right? My friend like counted in the Belgariad, and I just thought it was so funny. It's like they're making dinner again. I'm like, well, they have to eat sometime, but that's fair.
It's kind of fun. Like, look at like George R. R. Martin. He's somewhat infamous for describing a meal, and it's like 5 or 6 pages of just describing the meal. Like, okay, I'm just gonna say, oh well, the spiced lamb smelled good, made my mouth water, right? And then they got to eating, right? Let's just keep it short and let's have something happen.
I feel like that's totally fair. I do have to say though, like I actually discovered David Eddings. Like I saw the books for a long time, but I was like, my friend tried getting me into, oh, like Belgarath, the sorcerer or whatever the first one was, but the prequel or whatever, but like for so long, and it was in my mind, and I remembered the cover. And then when I was in Arizona, my jiu-jitsu professor actually was like, oh, I love this series, and then was talking to me about it. And so it was in the back of my mind again after childhood and middle school and stuff. And then it was so weird. Like I was at my first job here in New York State teaching, and I had to go watch some kids at the library. And I just happened to see, book one for the Belgariad there. And I was like, oh, that actually looks really cool. And I like went to the back. And at that time, luckily I had been on Goodreads for the first time. So this was like 8, 9 years ago. But man, like, because you mentioned like scratch that itch, right? And I don't know, like I've read a lot of books. Like I love The Silver Book Promise by James Logan. I just interviewed him. It was awesome. Like Justin Lee Anderson, The Lost War. I love The Black Tongue Thief, like Christopher's work. But like in terms of like series and epic fantasy scale, I haven't really gotten that itch, if that makes sense, because that was one of those times where I was like, oh my God, I just really discovered this author and this world. And I don't know, I just fell really in love with all the characters. I loved how tight-knit they were, and then I discovered that there were like books before that and the other series, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. But yeah, like that was like one of my favorite times of reading, I guess, but then the last 10 years was, and then I went back and listened to the audiobooks and stuff like that. So I think that, yeah, that's like, and I think that really like spurned me, because I was like stopped reading fantasy for a while, and I was in sci-fi and some other things. I was into classics, but that was the series that really brought me back into fantasy. And I was really struggling to write fantasy at the time, so I was really thankful to, really just discover David Eddings in that series. Then I bought all the rest of them, so I can't wait to read, the a bunch of the other ones. But yeah, it was really cool. So yeah, that's really neat.
For me, characters are like the most important element. It happens in another world with these, gods and magic and all that stuff. And I love those trappings. But it's the characters that make or break a series for me. And Eddings does a good job with his characterizations. Some of them, I guess I think that they're fun. So if you've got fun characters, then I know there are other some people have complaints about certain things about the series,
Oh yeah,
whatever.
I can
That's
see that.
fine.
Yeah. Yep.
And I totally get it, but I just love the characters. And that's where I am with Wheel of Time too. I really love the characters, even though, books, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 got kind of
Yeah.
slow and kind of bogged down, but characters, the world, it just was a fun place for me to visit
Yeah, no,
and fun characters to hang out with.
I totally agree. That's like people, I talked to a couple people about like Conan the Barbarian. I'm like, I love Conan, like the character. And I'm like, Robert E. Howard lived in a time where, like things were different. So I think, like I'm a history teacher, so I look at it all the time. So, but yeah, I've always, and there's so many people that, like, even Robert Jordan wrote like several Conan books, and those were some of the best Conan books after Robert E. Howard. So there's just, yeah, there's just certain characters. I'm like, if it's a character, that I really like, I'll read them. I've read like, I think 50, 60 Conan books, from like 10 different authors. I just finished one a little while back, from a newer author, and it was just like a novella, but it was like super cool. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's why I liked The Silver Promise so much, because like the main character, I love rogues. It doesn't have to be theme, but I love rogues. I love a roguish character, So I have to say though, Jeff, in terms of rogues, I actually was able to find the first book of yours that I purchased. I haven't gotten to read yet. It's been on my Kindle, but it was when I first discovered you a couple years ago. And that was, yeah, Fate of Wizardom's Eye of Obscurance. So as soon as I saw that cover, man, like I was like, and I went and read the blurb, and ever since then I've been following you, and your other books. I bought other books. I haven't even read that one yet, but that's like on my list for 2024. My wife, she's like, you're, or 2025, she's like, you're just reading all these like thief books. I'm like, they're rogues, thank you very much. But
They're rogues.
but that like really drew
I'm
me in, because I was like, who are these
yep.
characters? I'm like, and that's the type of thing where like Silk, I loved Silk, he
I
was
love
my
Silk.
favorite character. Yeah, right. And like he scratched that roguish itch for me. I'm not a rogue. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Like I'm a very paladin like character, Like I teach little children, I believe in law and order, but I'm just like, I don't know. I love rogues. I think that they're adventures. Maybe it's the Conan in me. I don't know. I think they're just fun. So I totally agree with you. For me, characters are just number one. So I think that's funny that you mentioned David Eddings there. So Silk is one of my favorites. So it's really
So
cool.
I'm totally with you on the rogue characters too. Like in Wheel of Time, Matt was my favorite.
Yes. Thank
After
you.
Ruidian, we'll say, because he was kind of a different character before and after his Ruidian experience. But after that, oh yeah, like I loved his scenes.
It's so much
Loved
fun.
him and the Band of the Red Hand, like him
Oh,
and
yeah.
Kuon. All that stuff is good. So when I wrote Fate of Wizardoms, I set out to kind of write a Wheel of Time-ish kind of story, but with the rogue as a central character, so the Matt kind of character instead of the Rand magic user as the central, figure. And then I had such a fun time with his name is Jarell Landish, but they call him Jace because he became he sought out in earlier times to become the most famous thief in the world. But the problem is when you're a thief and nobody trusts you. Right, like so he stops using his real name and he just calls himself Jace when he introduces himself to people, right? So anyway, he was in Fate of Wizardoms, 6 books, Fall of Wizardoms, 6 books, and then his own spin-off prequel series called The Outlandish Exploits of Jarell Landish.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't think I saw those, but okay.
outrageous exploit. Yeah. So it's a trilogy of it's just kind of like a heist tale, but
Oh,
it's his
even better.
adventures and his rise to fame and his so there's a lot of I wouldn't say con man, but a grifter kind of stuff going on. And he if he sees an opportunity to pull a prank, he just does it because it's like he doesn't have the filter. So he's a super fun character to write, and I've gotten more, letters about that character than anybody by far.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super
So
cool.
yeah.
Well,
Is he
that
on
makes
your
sense.
ropes?
What he was speaking to me.
Yep.
That's really funny. Yeah, I like was literally mapping out 2025, and I like have a bunch of stuff coming out that I have to finish. So I'm like, I just know I have to make 2025 reading like the most fun I can, if that makes sense,
Right.
to read while writing. Especially my son, it's been hard to focus on all three. So and podcasting. So generally one, I'm like prepping these ahead of time. But yeah, but it's like I have to read fantasy. Fantasy is the easiest for me to write, but I have to read fantasy while I'm writing it, if that makes sense. I don't know. The other ones I don't, like urban fantasy or sci-fi, it's just weird. But like I have a bunch of rogues characters, so I feel like I'm like trying to set myself up for success, if that makes sense, for the spring. But yeah, my
That's
buddy was like,
cool.
oh, you got a lot of rogues here. I was like, and that was like the Lost War. Like, I think that like if you look at the main, like all the characters, but the main character is very roguish. Black Tongue Thief. I mean, it's in the name, right? And then, like I said, Luca and the Silver Blood Promise. And I was like, I'm having a great time reading these types of books. I'm like, why struggle while I'm writing? So I'm like just setting myself up for reading success. But I definitely think, it'll be nice to see how you. I think a lot of people interpret a roguish character very differently, and I think that's why it's fun, to read and write, because there's so many different vintages or some, like you said, right? It's kind of a
Yeah.
grifter, type thing. So I think it's cool to see, what everybody's doing with that type of character. So.
And it's also an interesting and trickier character to show character growth,
It's a good
right?
one. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I've made sure to do that with, I mean, you can definitely see that when you look at Jarell and slash Jace when between his prequel and by the end of the 15 books he's in, he's the same person. But he's like a more refined and thoughtful version of the same person, if that makes
Interesting.
sense. And
No, yeah, totally. Yeah.
eventually he kind of hooks up, it kind of like Han Solo and Leia,
I
like
was gonna
he
say,
connects with a princess and like it's opposites attract and they argue, they fight, and eventually they're together and they become like a super fun team to write in the later series.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that makes you feel really good to know ahead of time. First of all, there's 15. Most people balk at that. I love that. Particularly, there's a character I really enjoy. But like, I think that's why I like the Han Solo or the Star Wars books, because they just let Han Solo be Han Solo. And not that they, like, especially once he had like marries Leia. I know spoilers, but like Courtship of Princess Leia was an amazing book. And I don't know, I just thought they did a really good job of just letting him be him. He had a lot of growth, but he was still Han, and Luke says that at one point. Lando's like, well, that's Han, but it was almost like a joke. But
Yeah.
I like those books because they let Luke be the paladin. They let Lando be the roguish character as well. Maybe sometimes him and Han went back and forth with it, and I don't know. I thought they did a really good job there. So to me, that's exciting that you mentioned that connection, because those are some things I absolutely loved about the Star Wars books that were, anything after Battle of Endor. So those are some of the best relationships, and were super
Yeah,
cool. So.
that's
But I
cool.
think, like you said, though, it is a difficult character at times, right? To help grow. And Tim Pratt has some Pathfinder Tales books. Like, I just did a video, like a couple of just for the small writer's corners, just talking about some reviews and stuff. He's got a great character named Roderick, who's a rogue, and he's the roguish rogue. But like, nobody really trusts him. Same thing as your character, right? But he has a magic sword called Him, and it's funny because they have this interesting relationship, and you see it between Han and Chewie, but Tim writes this Chewie part as a magical sword, sentient sword. And it's
Okay.
just, it's such a cool, but it's a cool way of doing the character, you know, and the relationship where it's an inanimate object, even though it's a sentient sword. It was so interesting. So I love Rogues because my friend's like, you know, he said, we talk about it all the time. He's like, there's just so many, JCM Byrne and I talked about it too, you know. I think Rohan, his main character, is really roguish as well, you know, and I think there's a lot of different ways that people interpret the character. But I think that's what's made it so fun, you know, and with those, some of those D&D roots coming out, but then better
Yeah.
characters or different ideas and different stories. Or like you said, get them with different characters and all of a sudden, you know, it's a completely different type of character or archetype, if you will, right? And I think there's just so much you can do with it. I think yeah, I just thought they did a good job with the new D&D movie. I even like the older one too, from the early 2000s. Again, you had rogues. They said they're gonna be a roguish pair and or whatever, and I was like, I'm sold, you know. Like,
I thought it was a fun movie. Yeah,
But my
with
just wanted to, I
honor
brought
among
it up.
thieves.
I brought it up
Fun.
because my friend, he was trying to get me back to your Wizardom series because he's like, a couple of other ones. He's like, oh, if you like this, I was telling him what I liked about the movie. He's like, well, if you like this feel, particularly amongst, you know, the companions, he's like, you got to go back to Jeff's work. So I'm like, that's, I could definitely understand, you know, what he's saying there. So I thought that was a really cool connection.
Yeah.
Really leads me
Thanks.
to my favorite part is just asking people about their books. So we'll get down to the nitty gritty here. One of my favorites so far. What is your series Dawn of the Wizards about? And how did you come up with this idea?
Okay. So, in writing my Wizardom's books, it's kind of, well, that's set in a world where wizards rule and they kind of like scheme. The ambitious ones scheme to try to become a wizard lord, which is kind of like a king. And once you kind of get that spot, they occupy these thrones that are charged by the prayers of the people that they rule, and
That's good.
it gives them like exponentially more power than the other wizards, and also allows them to unlike other wizards, they can self-heal instantly, right? So they almost become godlike. So these people want to become these godlike characters that who live for hundreds of years rather than, normal human spans. Okay, so that's Wizardoms. But during the series, you're also kind of a, anytime you build a world, you also have to build a history to that world. Well, there are a lot of references to past events and past heroes and legendary characters and all this stuff. So Dawn of Wizards is kind of the story that handles a big chunk of that. And what it does is it shows how the first wizard came to be and how that first wizard and why that first wizard came to be, basically. And then after that, the world kind of changed. So there's like a big influx. So by the end of the trilogy, because so Dawn of Wizards is just a trilogy, but they're thicker books. They're bigger books than my other books. They're in the 550 to 600 page range instead of, 350, 400. But yeah, it was a fun series. But it was kind of, so now it's the same world, but completely different kind of environment. So rather than wizards and humans kind of ruling the world, and in the Wizardom's books, like elves and dwarves, people think that they're just legend or myth because they're not found anywhere. Well, they're in hiding. They've been in hiding for a long time. Why is that? I don't know, but you'll find out if you read the books. But Dawn of Wizards, it's humans are the lowest, on the totem pole. They have no magic. So elves and dwarves, they're races of magic. They have the power, so they kind of dominate. And so it's like a completely different feeling in that world versus how it is later on in Wizardoms. But you can see that a lot of the topography is it overlaps. It's not completely the same, but there's a reason for that too. Yeah, so it allowed me to tell a story and kind of flesh out history in that same world. And I don't know, it was a different kind of series, but still fun in just a different way. So a little more thoughtful. The prose is purposely a little bit different. There's at least one roguish character, in fact, and it's a female, but she's fun. She's kind of almost like a female version of Tyrell, but different again because she's a woman. And then dwarves, right? So I've got really fun dwarves in these books,
Yeah.
and they can, I mean, I don't know. They become kind of, so I like to have humor in my books. It's really important to me. So the dwarves become a point of humor. And then in the second book, a brownie, a tiny little brownie
Yeah.
comes into play. His name is Lint,
Oh,
like
cool.
Pocket Lint. Yep. And he's a source, because he's like a fish out of water, and he's a source of humor from the middle point of book two on. And then there's a little tiny, kind of like this little guy. There's a fire drake who's a source of humor now and then. And he comes into book two as well. But so yeah, I'd like to have humor. It in the Wizardrooms books, it was easy because it started with Jace slash Jarell, my rogue, right? Easy to do humor with him,
Yeah.
even though other people did it, but he was often the source.
No, that's cool.
So
Well, I have to say I'm loving the Audible, particularly like I really enjoyed like the beginning. I don't want to give anything away, but I enjoyed the beginning. I didn't
yeah,
really
the
know what to
beginning's,
expect with other,
it's
you know,
just
with
a
Audible
setup,
lately people. So
right?
yeah.
It's two brothers who live in kind of a rural town, and they're happy. I can't describe it, but their happiness is, in a sunny summer day, or a smile from a pretty girl. Like it's a really simple life, but their life gets flipped upside down, and nothing's ever the same after that. And they become center points in like a larger, I guess, struggle that happens as time goes on.
It's such a good, I think I liked it because I don't know, like again, teaching history, like I have studied a lot of, you know, particular characters, you know, like Alexander the Great, not just like the stuff later, but particularly like his early life, you know, as much as there is to be found. And I do feel like you were able to capture like somebody's before, if that makes sense, like before this thing happened. And it definitely feels like more of a massive shift that way. Particularly when there are a bunch of other things that are going to occur. And I think some people try that. There was like a Dragonlance series that was like set in like an Asian like type fantasy or like country within the fantasy world. And they did such a good job of like capturing this young peasant boys like before. And the series is about all how he grows up to be essentially like the emperor's like right-hand man and like shogun or whatever like type of, you know, position you want to hold. But I think that it was such a great contrast because they did a great job at the beginning of book one, like really setting up like his before. So and then you just see this massive shift. So I do think it's really hard for some people to do. I think it's also has become a in the 90s especially like a trope in itself, right? Like Luke's on the farm sort of thing. So I think some people didn't really put a lot of thought or effort, or they just went with that trope, if that makes sense. But yeah, I liked the beginning part in particular, because I feel like it sets you up for the shift with the characters. So that was really cool. But I'm loving the Audible, so.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, for me, that before, the biggest thing is in that part of their life, what they think are big deals, big concern, right? It's kind of like you're a teen, you have a pimple on your nose and stand to the world, right? But
Yeah.
as their world shifts on them, like things that were concerns before are they don't matter, right? Because
Yeah.
they have real problems. And I think that's important, is to show how that they're impacted by this. So that's what
I
I
think
try
that's like,
to
well, I would bring up Wheel of Time again because I think it's the same thing, right? Like, you really do feel, I think the books obviously did a better job personally, I think, than the show. The show, you know, had less time to do it, granted. And then they go other books, right? That they go back to, you know, their home and stuff. And you can see that shift. But I thought that book one in particular, did a good job of showing that shift because they even said, I think Rand says it, right? Like, oh, last year I only had to worry about Beltane or whatever, like only had to worry about the solstice, and now we're worried about Trollocs and the Forsaken or whatever. And that makes some quips too, right? Before they get to like the tower and stuff. So yeah, so I think it's always interesting, I think, when somebody can do it really efficiently, to show you that, not even to show you the shift, but really that you feel the shift with the characters. I think that's what it is, right? The whole show don't tell kind of thing. I think a lot of people, they tell you about a shift and they don't actually, show you how it affects the characters. So I think it was just different for me for that respect, but I thought it was really well done. I
Thanks.
want to kind of keep going. You did talk a little bit about your Fate of Wizardom's books. My friend keeps just hammering me about these books, so that's why I bought them all.
I love to hear
So,
that.
and he is listening right now.
Thanks.
So I have to ask you, in terms of the Fate of Wizardom's books, why should readers pick them up and read them
Why? Okay. I
today?
guess. I think the biggest thing I would say is that if you want to have fun in reading a story, like the stories I write, particularly in my Wizards books, I try to make them so they're fun, right? So you're not just everything's dark and grim and brutal. Yeah, bad things happen and characters die. I'm gonna admit that right now, but they don't die unless it advances the plot where there's a reason for it, right? And I think that that's the biggest thing is I just wanted to have to write stories that are they're kind of like I'm going to see this more I'm going to go see Deadpool and Wolverine because I know it's just fun, right? It's just going to be fun. I'm going to laugh. There'll be action. You get that out of it. I wasn't trying to write, something that's going to win an Oscar, or in this book, in this case, a book like, book a writing prize, I guess, on something that's the most emotional thing you've ever read. Yeah, no. I'm trying to write the Marvel movie, the good Marvel movies of books, right? And my Wizards books are exactly that.
Oh, that's awesome. I know that he's enjoyed, like the magic, the world building, character interaction, like we play D&D together. So he's saying, like these are books. If you like D&D, you like that type of setting, Pathfinder, just you like magic, like you just said, right? You like to have a good time. And I'm like that. I am like, that's all, the only reason I'm here, but yeah, like,
In fact, if you really like D&D, I have a spin-off series in Wizardom's books called it's a Wizardom Legends spin-off series called Tor the Dungeon Crawler. So
oh,
that's a
I've seen maybe
series.
not.
Okay. And it's a team of relic hunters. So two of the guys are ex-soldiers. There's an outcast dwarf, and there's a female ranger who she's the youngest of the group, and she was trained as a ranger growing up by her father. And anyway, these four, they go on missions, on going quests to just try to recover magical relics that might be used in a future battle against the Dark Lord, right? So all it is it's quest stories, it's fun, there's banter, lots of banter, because it's a team that, any team that's together, you should be seeing banter. Yeah, so they're fast-paced quest adventure stories with puzzles and exploration, and yes, they fight monsters, etc., but everything's on a small scale until I'll say the end of the series, because it all drives towards something, and they're kind of like, oh no, what did we do? Now they have to undo what they did, kind of thing. But yeah, Tor the Dungeon Crawler, and it can be had as an ebook box set released on November 7th, same day that the audiobook box set released. And as a little bit faster paced, shorter stories, I think the audio bundle is three books, comes to like 22 hours or something like that.
Did not know that. I knew you had the other bundle. I didn't know you had it on Audible. That's very exciting. So that means I'm gonna have to switch my list for next year, but that's okay. So
it.
I was trying to figure out how to get those in because those are on my list. So I have you like three different places, and I was like, I'm like trying to figure out how to get everything in. Because that was definitely one. Because I have a we have a we had such a fun campaign, doing like a, we're like in this dark forest, and it was weird. It's like a, we had this. I'm actually at a community college I work at, and our DM like couldn't he like became a professor here. So one of the teenagers we played was like, I'll do it. And we're like okay, like first time DM. And she like, I don't know if she just wrote it, I don't know, but like just blew it out of the water. And we had this dark fantasy campaign, and I had this like roguish like scald, and my friend had this dwarf, and it's just been so much fun to write. And it's been like my fantasy, as I like to call it, like fantasy project, just like my side thing. But yeah, but I was talking to my other buddy about it. And he's like, those are Jeff's like tour books, like right, the Darth books are right there. He's like, just go read them. He's like, it's exactly what you're trying to do. He's like, you're just trying to be Jeff when it comes to your fantasy stuff. He's like, you just gotta go read these books. So I'm so glad you brought those up. But I'm just curious, like, how you came up with that idea of them being like relic hunters. I love Indiana Jones. I love doing that in a fantasy setting. I have a similar character, but not a team. So I'm just kind of curious at how like that came about. Because as soon as I saw that you posted that, I pre-ordered that like book one so fast, like my finger hurt my phone, you know? So I'm just kind of curious at how you kind of came up with this team and this idea for this series.
Actually, I was writing Fall of Wizardrums, which was a sequel to Fate of Wizardrums, and I needed somebody who was going to go and try to recover an item, right? So I kind of constructed this team, and I wrote them, and right away they just came alive on the page. Like, all four characters just fit in so great. And anyway, they're in like the final two books, I want to say, of that series.
Oh, cool.
And so they had already been around working together for a long time, and I thought, okay, you know what? I'll write a spin-off series that shows kind of like how they all formed, and they'll go do some stuff. And honestly, the way I wrote it, I could write more books. I need demand, right? Like, I could write more adventures with Tora and his crew. But I need, like, just more people who want it. What might help is I'm considering, don't hold me to this, but I'm considering doing a Kickstarter campaign in the spring, where, because I've done this with my other Wizardrums books, where I take the tour books and I make a really nice collector's edition of the book. But for this one, because it's so D&D like, I was going to include some D&D maps, character cards, which you could either play the character or you have them be part of the world as an NPC. Like, do a bunch of stuff so that it's like, hey, look at this, is this collector's item book and campaign parts. DM, you can take it for where you want from there, but it's all everything that you need. To run campaigns if they want to run them based on Tor and some of the places he goes and that stuff.
Super cool. Oh, that's super cool. Sold. Definitely sold on that one. That's super cool. Yeah, I just think that's a really cool idea. But I like how I didn't realize, which I should have, because I know my friend now. I do realize that you did say that. That they popped up in other books. But that's just cool. That's like, I think what everybody, really liked about, going old school, like the Batman Superman adventures, right? Those crossovers were always the most fun things, Now everybody crosses over, but back in the day it was them, and I think they had some of the best ones. So I always think that's just the coolest thing is when you see those types of characters, pop up multiple times, and but I think it's so cool that you were able to actually, flesh out that story, and do that for their characters. But yeah, just such a cool idea. So yeah, that's on my list too. So
And what's fun
we're
about
getting
it, so I mean, and so it's a Taurus books, like the Jor-El Sol series, they're prequel, they come before Fate of Wizardrums or Fall of Wizardrums, right?
okay.
But there are characters, main characters and side characters that are throughout the main books. They make cameos in the prequel books. So there's points where they run into each other, or there's points where they hear about each other and they're like, well, that guy's an idiot, you know, like that kind of thing. Like it's fun because anybody who reads them, you know, they get the reward of that connection. They're like, oh, I remember her from from this other book. Yeah, that kind of thing.
No, that's just super cool. I think that's what made the Star Wars book so cool too, is there were so many times where, it was all in the same universe. It's like they could just pull and yeah, I think that's why people like those kind of universes, right? Is not just the familiarity with the universe, but also with the characters, right? I'm thinking like Quinlan Voss, right? Like I loved him, and then all of a sudden everybody started using him in video games and all sorts of stuff. End up getting his own whatever, book series, comic book series. And I was like, I remember when he was only a 4 out of 4 issue comic. I was the only one that bought any. So I was glad to see him get his due, So that's really cool. But I think that's why people like those kind of things. So, and that's, I'm always here
Yeah,
for that.
for sure.
So, yeah. Well, that's really cool. And we talked a little bit, I don't know. I think the Kickstarter just sounds really cool. So now that's just like in the back of my mind here. But I'm kind of curious that
Well,
like,
did you see my
go
other
ahead.
Kickstarter? Okay, I'm just gonna show
Okay.
you. Like, so
Oh, that's
here are the
cool.
books from Beta Wizardums, right?
Oh,
So these
wow.
are omnibus books. So there's three books in one, three books in one. Yeah,
That's
they come in
cool.
like a slip cover.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And
Super
there's like
cool.
illustrations, the
Oh,
map, and
wow, that's incredible.
there are hand-drawn illustrations and you know, things like this
That's
throughout, right? So
amazing. Wow.
yeah, this was from last year. And then this
Oh.
past year I just did one for Fall Wizardums. So sequel series got it as well.
Oh, that's good.
And those will probably ship early next year. In fact, by the time this podcast airs, if people want to jump in as a late backer, it should still be open because it should be open until sometime in January, for sure.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. No, that's awesome. That's
Yeah.
really good to know.
And then after those ship, then I could do the tour books. We'll see. Like I said, I'm kind of excited about the idea because I think that, you know, adding in the D&D thing, like there are a whole bunch
Oh,
of
it's so cool.
tabletop gamers would like that connection, and yeah, it'd
No,
be fun.
I totally agree. I'm actually I like I started to run a campaign in my own fantasy series like setting for that very reason. I'm like, oh, I have similar characters where I'm like Han Solo, or I'm like they're pivotal characters for the world. So I tested them out on my players ahead of time. They were NPCs that were helping them with stuff or whatever, different villains and stuff. And I got just such great and amazing feedback. People were like, oh, like this is really fun, So I always want to do like a game setting or like one of those books that's like on my list, It's like that graphic novel. And I just think it would be super cool, to get a game book or like a PDF of a world or something. I just think they're just always so fun. I love when people do, their own like homebrew settings and stuff. I just always find, because I love stories, so I always find the most interesting, things come out of them. So I think that just sounds like I would so be into that. Like I'd buy it just for the books alone, but that to me, like those perks just sound absolutely awesome. So I think that's a really good idea. That's super cool. But I want to make sure, like I just want to talk a little bit, just you got a lot of books, right? So 29 books, like that's a lot of books, right? And
Yeah.
you have quite a few series, but I'm kind of curious, like if you had to pick a favorite child, like a favorite series or a favorite book that you wrote, I'm kind of curious on like which one would you pick and maybe why?
Yeah, that's tough. It's
I know.
usually whatever I wrote last. I'm like, oh, the
That's
last book is
fair.
the best one I wrote.
The
So,
one that took me 3 weeks, that's the one that I love most.
yeah, I think so my first books were all set in a world called Issalia, and there were eight total books there. And while I like the world, the characters, and what I did, at the same time, those were the first books I wrote, and I have a hard time going back and reading any of them
I
because all
feel
I
it.
want to do is edit them. All I want to do is edit them. It's like, you know, well, 3 million words later, it's like, yeah. So I think it would probably be right after that. I think it would be Theater Wizardums. I love that series. I really like the characters still. And it's why I wrote, when I got done writing that six book series, I wrote another six book series, and I wrote two, three trilogies to spin off, because I just love the world and the characters that, because they kind of became part of me. You know, they all start as part of you, right? But like, then they become something more, like they're alive. And like Jace, my rogue, like I tell people, he's the bad boy version of me. And
That's awesome.
Brock, the main character from my Azalea books, he's the good version of me, right? So it's like I'm the real me somewhere in between those two.
That's really awesome. I totally get what you're saying though, because like from a writer standpoint, like I mean reader standpoint too, I read R.A. Salvatore since like age 14, and then 3 years ago, right before my son was born, I got to like Gone Hedrum and like the two books before that, and there were like characters that I felt like were my friends for decades, and that spoiler, but now they're like 10 years old or whatever, even for the newer ones. And yeah, there, I mean, I literally like Gone Hedrum made me cry. Like, I usually don't cry in a fantasy book in particular or a book, and I bawled like a baby. My wife's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I am not okay." I was like, "I cannot believe Bob just did this, you know?" And there was one before that too, where it was like a secondary character that I really enjoyed. That was a primary character in a different series that he wrote that I loved and read and reread. And like, he's one of the main reasons that I wanted to write since like age 14. And I just couldn't, and because of those characters. So he like killed off two of my family members. I think eventually it was like three or four. So I totally get that. And I can't imagine, but my friend made a good point. He's like, "Did you see the article that Bob, answered questions about these characters?" And I felt so bad after that because he was like, explaining like how horrible he felt doing this, to these different characters. But it was like time to move on. But it was, I can only imagine, my friend was like, "If it's hard for you, imagine, him." He's like, "You discovered him when you were 14." He goes, "The books were already like 18 years old at that point, so I can only imagine when you're writing that many words, right? Like, it's got to be really tough to, to say I do, to characters that you really like, but also the world, in itself. So I definitely understand, wanting to stick around, as long as possible. So, but particularly if you have the readership, right? Like why not, right? If you have the ideas and, if you enjoy it. But I think that also comes from readers that I've had that I really liked your Wizardom books. I think that they could tell, I think they could feel, right, that when, you're writing a great story, it's because you really enjoyed being in that, that same world with some of those, same characters. And I don't know, I think that really transfers onto the page. So at least for me, when I'm speaking to people about those books in particular, it really seems like people felt the same way. But I think that transferred really well, from you to the page. So that to me made it
That's
really
great.
exciting to read, or to want to read. So yeah, I think that's, I don't know, I think everybody wants to do that, so when I talk to people that have read, your books in particular, but those ones I would say really specifically, I'm like trying to capture that, that same lightning in the bottle, if that makes sense, because I think that you have it particularly, with the setting and characters. So I don't know, I just thought it was so cool. Like the first wizard, I was like, "Oh, this sounds really awesome." So I don't know, to me, I just really connected with the blurb in particular, and that's why I kind of chose to start there with your books. But I don't know, but I
You
do
know,
also
here
about that
I try to
choice.
write every series, so any series can be a starting point. And there's no, when you if you read the first Wizard slash Dawn of Wizards, that series first, it's easy to roll into the Wizardums books afterward, but it's also easy to do the opposite. The only series that seem like they need to go in order are Fate of Wizardums, Fall of Wizardums, and
Oh
then
yeah, it
like
makes
early
sense.
books. I have two Azalea series. Runes comes before Wardens. And it's just because in a time frame, it's a linear time frame, and the things that happen in the earlier series are going to be referenced in the second series. Doesn't mean you can't start there, but you're going to be like, oh, I want to know more about that thing that happened earlier.
I feel like that's fair. I definitely read David Eddings Out of Order because they just didn't have they didn't have
Like
the
if you
first
read the
series.
Malarian before the Belgariad?
I
Yeah.
did, yeah. But I absolutely loved it. And I was like, I got done and it was so funny. My buddy, I remember sitting down and I was like, had just because I had I got the paperbacks. So the library, I think my school library had like three out of like the five or whatever. But I had found the fifth one on like eBay or something. So I remember specifically, I came in and like to the restaurant where we were having lunch, and I had just closed the paperback, and I was like, "Oh, I just finished this." And I was like talking about the characters and stuff. He goes, "You know, there's a pre like the previous series, right?" He goes, "That's the sequel series," and I'm like, "What?" And I like literally went out of my phone and bought, Dawn of Prophecy or whatever, like right off the bat. And I think I read the whole, first five or six or whatever, like literally within 3 weeks. I mean, it was really cool. That one
They're
was a
not
lot
that long.
harder. Yeah, that was a lot harder to go back because there's so many. I'm like, oh, now I get that more. That's where I went back to the Audible, because I did the Audible for the Lemurian, and then I went back and actually did the Audible again for the first set. But yeah, it was like, yeah, definitely don't recommend that, people, for
Yeah,
any
I
series.
mean, you spoiled some surprises for sure.
It was really funny. Well, yeah, there was quite a few, but I was like, oh, it's kind of, it was nice to see things made more sense. But yeah, I don't recommend that. It's like, skip it. I mean, I think you could do it with Star Wars, right? But yeah, other things I definitely would not. But no, that's just super cool. I know we're wrapping up on time here, but I just wanted to make sure I asked a couple of those follow-up questions. But yeah, like, just in terms of and you kind of talked a little bit already, just about what you love about the fantasy genre. I'm just curious because this keeps coming up for myself, where people keep asking particularly my students. So I just keep thinking about it. So I'm just kind of curious. We talked about your writing journey, but in terms of like if you had to answer the question, why do you write or what keeps you writing, I'm kind of curious at what your answer would be.
So even at a young age, like I like to create things. So whether it was I was creating my own comic books, for instance, when I was, in grade school, and then I took art classes and creative writing and all this stuff. The thing is, somewhere along the way, I did the responsible thing and became an engineer and then eventually a product manager. And so it's like you go down this path and then event. And there are creative things, creative rewards in that path. Like I created products that everybody has in their home. So that's a cool thing. In fact, every
Yeah, it's
time I go
cool.
to a hotel, I'm like, hey, look at this is something I made. This is something I made here.
That's cool.
But characters don't get to come out, right? So I kind of have all the characters in me. So once my kids got old enough where I started getting time back. Because right now you talk about like, yeah,
Oh, yeah.
your kids consume time, and that doesn't get any better until they're, I don't know, maybe like a senior in high school and they can drive, right? So that's when I started getting time back. I'm like, I'm gonna write with some of this time, and I'm gonna write while I travel. And once I started doing it, I just found that I love telling stories. And that's kind of like something I've always liked, but the fact that I get to create these characters and have them come alive on the page, and it's rewarding. I love magic systems and creating. I love thinking of new magical weapons and amulets and that kind of thing, and what kind of effect they might have. So I get all this creation. So it's a creative outlet. It's all about creation. And then the selfish part of me is when I hear, I like to, like on social media, interact with readers who tell me that they love my stories or they love my characters, or I read reviews and get that too. Like, so that's selfish part is me drinking in somebody loving something I created, right? So that's my reward, is when people, tell me that kind of stuff. Of course, it's nice that it keeps the lights on and keeps the heat on, right? So I'm paying the bills, I'm making a living telling stories. It's awesome. But the reward is when people share with me that they read my stuff and they love it.
I have to say, being a teacher, I always tell people, I'm like, I usually don't get to see, and a coach, usually a coach, you get to see the fruits of your labor because it's a season you're in, right? Or the next one. But with students, it's like it's rare. So I've had students come up to me. I've been lucky since last year. I went to move back. I came back this way in New York State, on the opposite t side of our town where I used to work. So it's funny. I'm seeing all these kids that I used to have from 6th to 12th grade, and now they're in college or just graduated. So I have gotten a lot of kids coming back to me saying thank you, or just getting, even if they don't say that, right? Just getting to see what, who they are now. And what they're doing is all the things I need. It's so rewarding. But I have tried to be really conscious of doing the same thing for authors, and creators, and getting to be friends with a lot of people now, a lot of the Forgotten Realms authors and stuff, like Richard Lee Byers is one. And I told him, before I interviewed him, I was like, I go, you're one of the main three authors I read, which is the reason I write. And I said, the reason I taught writing, I said, I got kids to love writing because of reading your books. So anytime there's somebody like Jesse Anderson, I messaged when I was like, dude, I love this book. And I did the same thing with James Logan. I was like, I absolutely love this book and these characters. So I think it's just good that people reach out to, creatives, because like you said, it's great when the lights are on, heat's paid, but there's also that, I'm the same way, right? Like my job is to pay my bills and whatever, but like the real reward is getting that connection, I guess, is the best way to put it. So I think it's really cool that, we're able to create. I love that you use the word create too. I'm that person too. Writing's fun, but I actually love to create, if that makes sense. I think they're two different things, some of the time. So because you can create things, right? D&D people, DMs, they create, and they do some writing, but they create a lot. So I think they're, yeah, it's creates a good word to put it. But yeah, I think that's really cool. Totally agree with you there. That's really awesome.
And you, one other thing, like you talk about
Go ahead.
rewards. So what I, another thing I try to do is I go out of my way to reward the people who buy my books, and because the biggest fans tend to join my author newsletter. So I write character short stories that you can't get anywhere else. So I'm like, hey, you love this character? Here's more of this character. And it gives you some insight and background on, for instance, I don't know how far exactly you are in the first wizard, but the latest one is how did Ravida and the Headthumpers, the dwarves, how did they meet? Right? So I just wrote a short story that kind of
Oh,
lays
that's
out
cool.
their meeting and their experience together. And it's they're not long. They're usually between 10 and 20,000 words, but I do that for every series I put out. I give out 1 to 3 short stories that just try to show them that I care. And then
Yeah.
anytime I have free books, hey, if you don't have this as part of your library, it's free right now. Grab it, grab it. That kind of
Super
thing.
cool. Yeah, that's super
I
cool. That
want
reminds me, I
to
have like
thank them.
10 of your 10 of your newsletters to sign up for. I've been slacking the last couple of weeks with the interviews. I've been interviewing and I gotta go back to people's newsletters. So it's really funny. It's a good reminder. Well, that's super cool. Well, I just want to finish off with that last question just to make sure, that our audience knows exactly what you have going on or coming out recently. I know you mentioned a couple small things, but do you have any, news, updates, current projects, anything like that you can share before we get done today?
Everything, I guess everything I had in the works is going to be released before the end of November, right? So that includes box sets, like a new box set of Tor the Dungeon Crawler, because that was only single books before. And the First Wizard Begins the Dawn of Wizards trilogy. Well, that third book came out at the end of October.
Wow.
And it's available in all formats by the time anybody sees this, because the audio should be out the first week of November. And
Oh, cool. That's good to know.
so yeah, now I'm actually doing home remodeling projects. As we speak, I'm working on the den, which is kind of my home office, and I'm working on making it super cool and built some bookshelves, etc. I'll
Awesome.
share that on my Facebook page when it's ready. But
Oh, cool.
once I'm done with it, I can go back to writing. But right now
Yeah.
I'm kind of like in a break,
Yeah,
just doing some home remodeling, and then I'll go back to writing. And when I'm ready to announce the next thing, I'll probably do it on my newsletter first, because that's where I always
awesome.
start. That'll
Yeah,
probably be in, probably announce sometime early 2025.
That's awesome. Well, to be fair, we have 29 books to get through before we, so we got, there's plenty of backlog, so that's totally fair. But I didn't realize that before this, that the third, or the audio would be there too for Dawn of Wizards. So that's really cool. So that's good news for me. I actually have to go get the Kindle. I actually totally forgot about that. It was on my list for this month and then or last month, and then it just like completely got away with me with Halloween. So that's really awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure just to get to chat with you. I see you all the time on social media and stuff. So I'm so glad we could connect and, and chit chat about your books. So yeah, I'm going to share my list too ahead of time for 2025 this year. Just so people can kind of, take a look and kind of see where a lot of my, reviews in the future, things like that will come. Just want to tell the audience in case you came in late or missed it. I do have Jeff's The First Wizard, first book in the Dawn of Wizards. I will be having that review out about 3 days after this interview. So make sure you check out that video review. I also put it on our website, all social media. That way you guys can take a look, check and see what that's about. It is spoiler free. I do spoiler free reviews. That's just how I am. So at one point, right, we'll do some chat with people, and do spoiler chats or something like that. But for right now, spoiler free. But all of Jeff's links will be down the description. So make sure you check out all 29 books and all those other fun things. And Jeff, thank you so much. I'm definitely signing up for your newsletter. I cannot believe that's been on my list for like 2 weeks, you and like five other people that I'm about to interview this week, and the five from last week. So I totally forgot about that. So that's definitely on my list. So I'll definitely be doing that. But if you need anything else in the meantime, this comes out, almost like 30, I think it's almost 32 days, exactly 31 days. But if there's anything else you need in the meantime or after, especially, please just let me know. I have the podcast Facebook group. Go in there, throw in anything you want at any time. That's what it's there for. But anything else that we can do for you, in the meantime, you need more people to read Tor, you let me know. Other than me, I'll just shout it from the rooftops. But yeah, anything else you need, my friend, you just let me know and I'll be more than happy to help you out. So thank you so much for
Awesome.
coming
Thank you
on.
so much. Yeah,
Yeah, of
thanks for
course.
having me. This is fun.
Anytime. I can't wait to have you on in the future. We'll get you with some other peeps that, write similar things, and we'll ask some questions in the spring. I want to do some sort of like seminar based thing, or just do a couple questions and, just have some fun, three or four people and me, and we'll just, chit chat about some fun fantasy stuff and some books and nerd out. So sounds like a good time.
Sounds
So,
fun.
yeah. All right,
Nerding
Jeff.
out is
Well, good
always
luck
great.
with the office and everything. And like I said, if you need anything else, just let me know. But other than that, I hope you have a great rest of the day. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon on social media, my friend.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
See you
Daniel.
later. Yep.
See ya.
Bye.